We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The 1 to 2 hour is brought to you by the Seminole Hard Rock Poker Room at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
I'm super nervous about the Heat taking on the Suns. I am petrified, if we're going to be very honest with it, because
bad team at home.
This is kryptonite. This is like you are walking along, everything's going good, and who comes to town? Stinky Western Conference team on your home floor. I really don't like how this is going to go. I don't feel good about this.
Oh, and stole the pass there by Booker. Wade, the alley-oop at the rim, up and in there by Magruder.
Magruder running underneath that lob. What a play by Wade.
Bad teams.
Yes.
At home.
Correct.
That aren't the Grizzlies.
Right.
The Heat never win that game.
That's a rule?
That is the rule of this year. And kind of going back to last year.
Wade, he'll stop and pop for three off the front of the rim. Rebound Tyler. Tyler back out to Wade. Wade's going to try it again. This time it goes in.
Excellent ball movement there.
I think they'll overlook the Suns. They won't play defense. And they'll blow.
So do you not buy the 9.5 point spread for tonight?
Yeah, take the points.
No, I don't buy it.
Okay.
I don't buy it.
You know what? I'm all in on the Heat.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Do you think they're going to win tonight?
Yeah.
You're telling me you feel good about tonight's game.
I feel really good.
Really good.
Really good.
Okay.
And that will be the ball game. Final score, Miami 125, the Phoenix Suns 103.
Reverse jinx point for me.
What? Wait, what? I didn't even hear what you said. No, you don't get a point.
First jinx.
What's reverse? I should get a point, too.
No, Nene.
Yeah, true.
What the hell are you guys doing? No, you don't get points. You don't get points for bad predictions.
No,
no, it wasn't a reverse jinx. You had your little rule. You have your new rule that you invented.
Reverse jinx.
Bad teams at home, not the Memphis Grizzlies, equals a loss. That was your rule.
No.
Yes.
It was reverse jinx.
No.
I was playing you guys a sucker.
No.
It's playing you a fool.
Stop with your hijinks.
Beast, you don't know the game.
Yeah.
See.
Oh, no. I understand the game.
You don't know the game.
And the game is that you guys are cheating in the points game.
You don't know the game.
In months past, we would talk about how bad the Magic are or how bad the Nets are, and the Heat would just lay a complete egg.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine. Justice Winslow, he's in the car, he's listening to us talk about how bad the Magic and the Nets are. He's bobbing his head, feeling as good.
Yeah, he's feeling himself.
Yesterday, Justice Winslow's in the car, hears us talking about how bad the Suns are, about how worried we are about the Heat, and he's like, oh, what? They think we're going to lose to the Heat.
Right.
Goran.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but they're frequent listeners of our show, and so he answers his phone, he's like, hello, Justice. What happening, buddy?
Yo, you hear these guys on 790?
What they sing?
Actually, you probably have HD radio, so it's 104.3 HD2.
Yeah, that's right. I have a fancy car.
Read your stupid word, and let's get on with the show, because I'm done with
these guys. Said we're going to lose to the Suns.
Listen, if you want to buy money, buy fancy suit, right now, text word NORTH to 72881. Text NORTH, NORTH. To 728.
What was that letter?
N O R D H. To 72881. You don't win this time. It's okay, buddy. We got work next hour. And top of every hour is national contest. Not in Slovenia. Missions and data rates apply. No text and drive. And that's okay. Let's keep it to conversation. Hey, Justice, what's up, buddy?
No, these guys on 790, the ticket, are saying that we're going to lose to the Suns tonight.
Who is that? That's Tobin. He's hilarious. And that Beast, my God, what an ass kisser. What they say, Justice? What they say, buddy?
They said they were worried about us losing to the Suns tonight because of the bad teams at home rule.
Who said this? Who said this? This say by Tobin or this say by that Cleroy?
No, Cleroy was not there. It was just that Tobin fellow and that Robbie fellow saying to take the points and the Suns.
He loves Cleveland so much. I mean, get over it already. I mean, the Browns, it was like 2 decades ago. Oh, my God. And let me tell you something. I mean, gosh, with the Jarvis Landry take, we get it, buddy. You don't pay possession receiver. I mean, we get it. You say it every day.
He also said Devin Booker was going to be out for revenge against us.
What? Let's get him.
That's how it went.
It's horrible.
Then Goran calls Dwayne Wade.
You guys are horrible.
Hello, Dwayne Wade. What's up, buddy? It's good to have you here. Could you take a break from Gabriel Union's Yamamas for a second? I have something to tell you.
What was that? Take a break from what?
Her Yamamas. She's beautiful, man. Anyway, listen, Gogi, hear this on radio station. You know, great show, Tobin Leroy Biest. And they say, hey, the Suns, they're going to kick our ass, man. We can't have that happen. Please. No let-up game night.
And so Dwayne was encouraged. And then they had to call up Kelly Olynyk.
Call up Hassan,
Deirbre. And it just went from there, man. Reverse jinx, point from me and Robbie. Boom. Headline time.
This is WAXY-AM South Miami and WSFS HD2 Miramar.
I am doing these headlines under protest.
Why?
Because...
You got time to catch up.
No, because you guys were wrong and I was right. But when you're wrong, it becomes a reverse jinx situation. When I'm wrong, I get like minus 7,000 points.
It's not true.
Ridiculous.
Not true.
It was a horrible role play because whoever was playing Dwayne Wade and Justice Winslow sucked.
Hey, man, that's not true. You sounded great.
Sounded like Robbie the Degenerate. All right, we got action.
Guy's hilarious. I love Magnificent Seven.
Oh, Jesus.
Although I lose lots of money.
What do you think about the draft room? It's coming back tomorrow.
That's right. We forgot draft room this week. Excellent. What position are you
it's
doing?
It's going to be running backs tomorrow.
Oh. Leroy favorite. The Heat have a back-to-back. They're in the nation's capital tonight, taking on the Wizards. 7 p.m. is your tip time. 6 p.m. is when Zazzo and Tommy Tighe have the call right here on, or have the pregame right here on AM 790 FM 104.3 HD2 The Ticket. The latest injury report is that Wayne Ellington is still questionable. So he's the game time decision, and we'll see if he'll go or not. But the Heat coming off a win, they are now seventh spot.
What do you mean the seventh spot?
They're in the seventh spot.
They have the tiebreaker over the Bucks.
Right. But they're only three games out of the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So, only 3.5 back of the three, I believe.
That's right.
Right. So,
you know what that means this again?
What?
Creeping and streaking time.
Oh, we're back on that?
Mm-hmm.
Because Hassan decided to play last night.
March 27th.
And Justice had a jam.
Oh, let's say what it is. Justice killed a guy.
Yeah, he did. All right. Panthers are skating tonight in the Sunshine Series. Huh? You jacked up?
Hell yeah, I'm jacked up. The cats are on fire.
They're a point out of the last wild card spot.
Know your cats.
They are taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are a very good team, on the road at the Lightning's house. 7:30 p.m. is your face-off. 7 o'clock, you can hear that one on our sister station, QAM. The other news, as it relates to sports in this town, is Stephen Ross. Stephen Ross. What are you doing?
He is so bad at this.
You know what? Before we get to the Stephen Ross story, let me just get through what else is going on. And we're sad today because Ed Hockley is retiring as an NFL referee, but is being replaced by his son, Sean Hockley.
Is he jacked?
I don't know. That's the biggest question is, does he have guns?
They were saying on the Libertard show, he's not even close. It's like the Weisses.
Because if he doesn't have guns, then he shouldn't be a ref.
That's really disappointing. How could you raise a son like that? Yeah, you got a weak-armed little Nancy? What the deal, Ed?
So we're not going to have the first down with the bulging bicep anymore.
They got to get him juiced up. I mean, he better not roll into that first week with flabby arms.
Oh, imagine if he has flabby arms. We're going to be so let down.
Oh, my God. He's got the dangling tries.
Oh, goodness. He's got the granny arms.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think Ed Hockley looks at him as a disappointment?
Well, imagine like the phone call, like, Sean's like, hey, Dad, I know you're retiring, but they just promoted me from back judge to ref, and I can't wait. And then Ed's like, son, you can't be out there doing the first down with those arms.
You'll never be a ref until you're jacked.
You can't call yourself a ref until you get on the HGH, too.
Unbelievable.
Anyways, then there's this... props to the Panthers, by the way, who not only hosted the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas hockey team at the arena, let them skate around with the Stanley Cup, which I don't know why it was there, but it was there, and also Pay is flying them on the team plane up to their game up in Minnesota and taking them out to dinner and doing all sorts of stuff. Props to the Panthers.
Hell yeah, man.
Good job. And then there's Stephen Ross.
Yeah.
So, Stephen Ross was up at some sort of gathering in New York.
He's getting, like, an award, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was getting an award for something, and a reporter from the New York Daily News caught up with him.
Something called, he was being honored by the Jackie Robinson Foundation with its Robey Lifetime Achievement Award.
That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, a reporter from the New York Daily News.
His name is Christian Redd.
Catches up with Stephen Ross, okay? And basically, Stephen Ross opens his mouth and bad things come out. Or, in my humble opinion, bad things come out.
Right.
The first quote is, "All of our players will be standing," Ross told the Daily News, as it relates to the national anthem. "Initially, I totally supported the players and what they were doing. It's America and people should be able to really speak about their choices." But Ross's feeling changed when he felt the message being sent by the players kneeling was a protest against support of our military or support of our country or the military. "If a player wants the privilege of making millions of dollars in the NFL," oh no, that's a Trump tweet. I don't want to read that.
It's when the message.
Yeah, when the message changed and everybody was interpreting it, that was the reason that I was against kneeling, said Ross. "I like Donald Trump. I don't support everything he says. Overall, I think he was trying to make a point and his message became what kneeling was all about. From that standpoint, that is the way public is interpreting it. So I think that's really upon us to adopt that. That's how I think the country now is interpreting the kneeling issue."
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last part, he's talking about Derek Jeter and his challenges with the Marlins.
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit.
No, but I just got to read the quote.
Well, are you going to read the quote or are you going to put his clarification out? Because I don't believe he's commented on this.
Okay, but I just feel like I want to get this part out, and then we'll get to the clarification. Then the next segment, we'll just we'll banty it about. In talking about Jeter's challenges in the Marlins, quote, "Miami is a great city. It's not a great sports town. The Marlins haven't been winning. He has to start all over again. I think you have to be patient and give him time." But the quote from that is, "Miami is not a great sports town," says the owner of the arguably biggest sports team in town.
Yeah.
We have a rebuttal from Stephen Ross. So that was last night. And then this morning when that news broke, and I'm guessing there was some fallout, the Dolphins PR suddenly came up with a new quote from Stephen Ross about how his remarks were misinterpreted.
We call this damage control.
And he walks it all back. Says he was his quotes were misinterpreted, taken out of context.
Well, the ones about the anthem.
Right, correct.
"Where the hell's my retraction on you calling us bad fans?
He didn't take that back.
Where's that walk back? Huh?
Miami's a bad sports town."
Oh, okay. That doesn't get on First Take, so I get no walk back on that one?
Correct.
Honestly, he's so bad at this beast.
Well, the Dolphins are a first-class organization in everything except the football field.
He's so bad at this.
Bad at what?
He is bad at speaking publicly. He steps in it so often, all the time. He's always either overselling or overpromising or going super hyperbolic with his analogies or what he wants guys to be, or you know, christening that the Dolphins have taken back the town from the Heat.
Remember Chad Henne was supposed to be the next Marino?
Yeah, he's like Joe Philbin has all the qualities of Don Shula. He's so bad at this, and we'll get into it next.
You gotta fight for your right to play.
Okay, welcome on back. Tobin the Beast here with you on The Ticket. Leroy will be back tomorrow. Hopefully his legs are working.
Yeah, I do wonder about that. He hasn't responded to any of our texts.
No, he's been off the grid.
So I'm hopeful that he's not like in a bed somewhere.
Do you think that's because we're annoying?
Well, we're annoying whether he's here or not.
Yeah, I know, but does he just like, I need a break from this?
I mean, possibly. You do send, the crab emoji does make its way across the group text often.
Yeah, yeah. But shout out to the Crab yesterday.
Even when he does something good.
The Crab Jam. The Crab Jam was rolling yesterday. It was awesome. Good for Justice Winslow. Especially good for Justice Winslow with it being against Devin Booker's team. Because, as we said yesterday, Devin Booker comes out. He is able to put up his 30 points. That team stinks at defense. They're a bad team in general. And Justice goes out and he does what he's good at. He fills up the stat sheet. He's been really good. This is from Tim Reynolds on his Twitter account. He was 31% from the field in February, 5.9 points per game for Justice Winslow. In March so far, 53% field goal percentage, 14 points a game. Like this short run, he has been very, very good thus far. So it's
so in three games.
In three games. Yeah, three games. But 3 games, 14 points a game, man. Like, did you ever assume that Justice Winslow was going to have 14 points per game in a run like that for a 3-game period?
No, the game before that, though, he had 2 points. Just not to
poop. All right. Jeez.
Then he had 17 before that. And then before that, 4, 3, 5, 0, 5.
But the point is, he's filling it up everywhere else. Winslow culture.
Is he really?
Winslow culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's back.
Okay. Winslow culture.
Winslow culture.
Yep.
He told us.
Yep.
Winslow culture.
He did.
You got heat culture, but you also got Winslow culture.
Winslow culture.
He's doing that against, up against Devin Booker, who everybody's like, oh, he. Would love to have Devin Booker.
Devin Booker.
And look, Devin Booker's good. I'm not trying to sit here and say, would I rather have Devin Booker than Justice Winslow? Perhaps. That guy fills up the stat sheet. But I also am letting you know that he's in the easiest position right now in the NBA, which is guard who has the ball all the time on a terrible team. He's always going to get his shots and always going to get his points. Results be damned. And that doesn't mean he can't be good or a key piece to a championship, because that label was put on Kyrie Irving forever. Because he's very young and he doesn't have a lot of expectations right now. But because of that, he is allowed to be in a system where it's just, Devin, go get your buckets, man. Go get your buckets. Results be damned. We'll figure out the rest later. Where Justice has came into the league on a playoff team. Remember that the Heat didn't make the playoffs and were in the lottery because Chris Bosh's blood stopped working. And so he comes into the scenario where they need him to be a contributor on a playoff team. Then he comes in the next year and they're saying, Justice, you, Dwayne Wade leaves. You're the focal point. Take all the shots. He was hurt. Was a disaster. Couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And so then comes back into this year. By the way, that team nearly goes on a playoff run. And so it's like, he's been in and out, hasn't really found a set role. And I'm not trying to make excuses for him because Lord knows we've dumped on him a plenty. But maybe this little window right here, Beast, is a window to the soul of Winslow culture.
Winslow culture.
That it's all coming together, man.
Maybe.
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 Maybe. We'll get back into Justice Winslow a little bit later. Now there's Stephen Ross.
Oh.
He's bad at the public speaking. Which
He has not done the right thing PR-wise since he took over, starting with the orange carpet and let's have a bunch of famous people because that's going to get everyone revved up.
Yeah, well, that's the one. That's why I find his fan comments so odd.
Right.
Because I would think with Stephen Ross, he would be of the mindset of, I went into Miami and I came with the pomp and circumstance and all the flashiness and the orange carpet and the celebrity owners and Jimmy Buffett and remixing the Dolphins theme song.
T-Pain.
And all they really wanted was for my football team to be good. So really, I didn't need as many gimmicks as I thought I did.
Right.
For the fans to embrace me. Now, has Stephen Ross had consecutive winning seasons as Dolphins owner? Because I don't believe he has.
No.
Nope.
No. Does he have one?
He has two.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think it's one.
Because one was Parcells' first year. The last.
Yeah, and Huizenga was still on the team, the last playoff team.
Or they have a 9-7 mixed
wait,
in there.
Wait, didn't the year they went to the playoffs, was that Stephen Ross with Chad Pennington?
No.
No, that was Huizenga.
He took over, I think, the next year.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Then they went. Yeah, they've had a couple 8-8s, but never, no nine, nothing more than a 500 outside of the year they went to the playoffs.
So, I'm here to let you know. Stephen Ross, he stepped in it a bunch, you know, took Jeff Ireland across country, secret incognito mission, even though they got picked up by reporters in like 30 seconds, to go try and get Jim Harbaugh, while Tony Sperano's sitting here like, hey, not realizing that he's they're looking for his replacement. He's had a lot of missteps. you know, Heat lose LeBron James. He comes out immediately swaggering in here like Vince McMahon is.
Dolphins
like,
are on top of the world.
Dolphins town now, boys. Heat are a different organization without LeBron James. It's like, no. They were the organization that made LeBron James from a choker to a champion. But if you want to play that game, okay. But I would just, you know, put up some winning, consistent winning from time to time. Yet, he wants to walk in here and critique this fan base, which, by the way, even in spite of the non-consistent winning, finally is showing up to that stadium, which, to credit to Stephen Ross, built himself, revamped himself, and he deserves praise for that.
Sure.
Which we've given him.
Ton of praise.
But I was disappointed to read the statements that he thinks we're not a great sports town simply because all the sports town has been wanting is some winning, which is not an uncommon theme in many sports markets.
Well, no, isn't
every sports
pretty
market.
Pretty much every sports market wants to win, yeah.
And he is letting Jeter know, not a great sports town off the bat. It's like, you know, I would like somebody to give an assessment who hasn't had the many off-field public embarrassments that the Miami Dolphins have. You know, like a coach doing blow, videotaping it, and sending it to a stripper.
Bullygate.
Bullygate, which is still in the news, by the way.
Yeah.
We thought it was over. It's not. Stephen Ross said that he had a committee come together. He didn't. He came up there and he told a big old fib to everybody that Tony Dungy, Curtis Martin, Jason Taylor, Dan Marino were all going to get together and somehow solve bullying. They didn't. And, you know, all these things put together, you'd hope that, all right, there's going to be some consistency. There's going to be some winning here. Nah, not really. And any good thing that they've had, any good little run, any speck of good that they've had has been smashed out. You know.
Is this going to come back to JJ?
No. I mean, they did have the most popular Dolphin since Ricky Williams and a global superstar, and they traded him away, and he won the Super Bowl and was on Jimmy Kimmel's couch. But, you know, it's not like they realize when they have a good thing to just accentuate it and go through with it. So for me, Stephen Ross, I was disappointed to read that because of all the things that this franchise has put their fan base through, to think about the number of fans that actually go to those games and tune into the Dolphins, respectively knowing that they're in the bottom tier of what the rest of the NFL is, to think that they have as many as they do, dying Dolphin fans, just hoping for some sustained success, for him to come out and say, nah, not that great, not great. I was disappointed to read that. I really was, from Stephen Ross. And I feel like we say this a lot about him. He steps in it, and then he's got to walk it back. Like the Anthem comments. Now, when I read the Anthem comments,
yes,
Beast,
yes,
I wasn't that surprised to read them. And here's why.
Okay.
Here's why. Because Stephen Ross has put, I think, a lot of clout into empowering his players.
Sure.
Put a lot behind the Rise organization. Was very supportive of his players as it was happening. And so when I read his comments and said, we're not going to have our players kneel for the anthem, they're going to stand. And I thought that the message was lost last year in the protest. I actually thought that that quote was pretty valid. I thought it had some validity to it. Because I do think that the reason guys were protesting became a big old... mixed messages of they are protesting the flag. They are protesting the country. And that's not what they were doing.
The reason why they were protesting was completely misinterpreted by the majority of people that didn't like them protesting.
So much so that you had Jerry Jones out there having a coordination can-can dance right before the national anthem to make it seem like they're unified because the president called their players sons of bitches. So I understood a little bit of what Ross was saying. Now, it's obviously going to get a lot of blowback today because people are going to say, oh, Stephen Ross is telling his players to stand. I didn't really think that was that surprising because I thought a lot of that stuff with the protesting was losing some steam at the end of the year. It didn't feel as big of a storyline. It didn't feel as meaningful as of a storyline. And so I thought, okay, well, there was a lot of momentum last year of what the NFL could do for the players instead of them doing this, because I do think a lot of the owners feel like it is affecting their business. So for him to go out there and say this, I didn't find it that surprising. But now he's completely walked it back and said it's basically fabricated, which I find odd.
Well, here's like it's one thing if he wasn't directly quoted in the article and the writer was just like, oh, I spoke to Stephen Ross and he said blah, 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 blah. And then Ross can say, all right, my quotes were taken out of context, blah, blah, blah. But these are direct quotes. Like, I don't understand. Like, you can read them for yourself. I don't understand how they could be misunderstood or taken out of context. Or he says, my players will be standing next year.
Mm-hmm. And so what are we to do with that? Are we to say that, all right, did he think he was off the record? Did he not think that that guy, what he said, what he was quoted on, did he not think it was fair play? That I'm confused by when he says that they were misconstrued. And so now we're at this weird part where, okay, so then are we not, are his players allowed to kneel or not? Because let's not forget, also in the middle of last year, the Dolphins changed the rules of kneeling, and Adam Gase, a rule that he took credit for, although that you can leave up to judgment,
right,
where he said, protests have to stay in the locker room. If you're going to protest the national anthem, just don't come out. And then in the middle of the year, they reversed course on it. And they said, okay, we'll allow it because apparently Kenny Stills came out. And a lot of their players who are doing this, good dudes, man.
Right.
Kenny Stills out there with the police force trying to do things in the community. Michael Thomas, what has he been? Walter Payton, not man of the year nominee, 3 years running now? So these aren't bad teammates. These are guys who have been good faces for the organization. It's just it's a very, very dicey topic that has, whether you want to say affected the ratings greatly or not, it has, I think, affected a lot of people emotionally on what they feel about certain NFL players. Probably more so fringe people than maybe diehard NFL fans, but people tuning in nonetheless. And so the thing we got to know is, all right, are the owners talking about wanting the players not standing or not, or not kneeling or not? Like, what is really happening here? Because Stephen Ross, who was fully behind this, for him to have an off-the-cuff quote like that, to me, it was more of a sign of, okay, if Stephen Ross is saying all of our players are going to stand,
that's coming from Roger Goodell.
Yeah, all the owners are in unison on
right.
this. Don't you think so?
Yeah, no. I mean, I thought the same thing. Like, a matter of fact, I've been waiting this offseason for some sort of edict by Roger Goodell that, hey, we understand the plights, this, that, whatever, but all of our players will stand for the national anthem. It hasn't happened. So I have no idea what the league's thoughts are on this or how they're going to handle it. But Roger Goodell's busy running the 40 in his office, so that's good.
It took 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But it took 5 seconds. You can't have a little fun? It
wasn't as fast as that white DB.
Dude, how funny was that?
That
Deion
was
Sanders?
He was flabbergasted.
Who was that guy? Abke? Abke on Penn State?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This dude ran a 4.3, and it flummoxed Deion Sanders. He goes, oh, my God, he can run. He can run.
And they were, like, baiting him. He's like, I can't talk about it on TV.
He's like, why are you so surprised, Deion? He goes, you know why. Deion Sanders, like, goes over and congratulates the guy.
He went over and hugged him.
It was amazing.
On live TV, he went over and hugged him and said, hey, man, what's your name? What's your last name?
We'll retweet that on at 7-9 the ticket so you guys can see it. It is really funny television of the white safety from Penn State who ran a 4.3, and it just left Deion Sanders flummoxed. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. Tony Beast here with you on the ticket. We will be back tomorrow.
Stand up for your
a lot of Texas right. Writing in on the Stephen Ross thing. There's a couple directions. Look.
A lot of accusations being made.
Of what?
About you and your takes.
Like what?
I don't want to really get into it, but
well, you can't.
You're being
do that.
Accused of being a little bit racial.
How?
because, you know, you're referring to certain players as being good in the community as opposed to other players that aren't.
Because I think Kenny Stills and Michael Thomas do good work in the community?
Correct.
They do. I mean, am I not stating facts there?
No, you are. You are.
I'll just say this. Like, who seems like they're more committed to the protest? Those guys? Or the guys who only did it after Trump called everybody SOBs?
No, it's a valid point. I'm with you, man.
And I don't care about the kneeling. I'm happy that guys are kneeling and feel the right to protest. One thing, but I do think this, that I think that people who believe that kneeling has had no contribution to NFL ratings going down, I think that's a naive echo chamber that they are living in. I think it absolutely has, man.
I don't know. I mean, really?
Yeah, like, I do.
I mean, okay.
I think there's plenty of other factors. But to say it's not a factor beast, I think that's silly.
Well, I mean, I just think if you're not watching a football game because of that, like, you got deeper issues.
Why?
Because it's so stupid. It's a game. Like, what are you doing there?
If you're bothered by an action, whether you think it's whether it's right or wrong, see, here's the thing. And this is, I think, a problem with a lot of conversations in our country. We were all told, right, that Donald Trump, for whatever media you cover or consume, for the most part, we've all been told the dude had no chance of being president, right?
Correct.
By the media?
Yes.
Okay, that was a big misconception by the media,
huge,
was it not?
Huge, yes.
Okay.
It was
so
a bigly miss.
I would say, for anybody who says it doesn't contribute to a ratings fall, I'd say a lot of us probably live in that same echo chamber of, this isn't really a thought around the country. People don't really feel this way. When there are, man.
No. Listen, I understand that people feel that way. I just don't, like, I don't know if it's enough for them to tune out of football.
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
Oscar's lowest ratings of all time?
Yeah, but that's been going down. It's been like a 5-year.
20% drop, man.
It's been going down, man.
20% drop. You mean, like, I'm not saying it's the whole thing, but to say it's nothing?
No, I agree.
So I do think that...
Which is why we're all waiting for Roger Goodell to come out with some sort of edict.
Right, which is why when I heard Ross's quotes initially, I'm like, yeah, it's not that surprising. I thought that they would probably come with something in the ilk of the NBA where they were going to try and find a solution for all parties. Is it going to work out? Now that this is all happening, where Ross is kind of, you know, backing off it, is that going to make it all crumble? Is not what Ross intended? I don't know, man. But when these quotes first came out with the anthem stuff, I kind of looked at it and was like, all right, well, if Stephen Ross is saying this, then this is probably a general feeling from the entire cluster of owners around the league. Coincidentally enough, it came on the heels of the day where the Texans had to deny a report that they weren't going to sign anybody who ever protested the anthem.
Yeah.
So you had two extremes there. You had the owners of the Houston Texans, which you would assume is probably the state where this is most hot button of an issue anywhere.
One of them, yeah.
And then you have Stephen Ross, who had the back of his players throughout all of last year, basically, and is very big in these initiatives like his organization Rise. So if you had those two things being on same wavelengths, I thought something was going to come out to where they were going to have an agreement among the owners and the players to not have this be a thing anymore because they thought it was affecting their business. And so if you have all the owners on that same page, don't you think that they have the research and the information to know whether or not it is affecting their business?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So that's...
And the bottom line matters more than anything.
Yes, to them.
Correct.
To them, it does. And so that's why... This walk back to me is strange. It's kind of like, oh no. I didn't like how this played with Stephen A. Smith yelling at me or Shannon Sharpe or Skip Bayless or any of them yelling at me, and now I want this fixed.
Although he did not walk back the comments about Miami being a crappy sports town.
Yeah, and that's not what he said. He didn't say they were a crappy sports town. But this is what bothers me about the sports town thing. And to a lot of the media members who are out there right now saying, well, it's not. What's so wrong about what he said? What I'm bothered by, Adam Beasley, what I'm bothered by is that is an old stereotype that is put, it's put on our city more so than it is the rest of the sporting fans around the country.
By the way, I think the problem is that we can't somehow separate or can't come up with a better way of saying it. It's not that it's a bad sports town. It's a different sports town because of the diversity and the demographics that make up this town.
Yeah,
where it's not a homogenous Boston, Philadelphia, Chicago, where it's all for one, one for all, because everyone's born there, lives there, grew up there, and does the same thing. That doesn't make this a bad sports town.
Yeah, but also, all those towns, when those teams suck, nobody goes to those games either, man. Beast, when the Jets suck, well, that place got overrun by Dolphins fans. Overrun.
The Sixers were regularly last in the league in NBA attendance.
Regularly. Phillies games. Nobody going. They had trouble filling Yankee Stadium. Boston, kind of an outlier. We can't really put them in the conversation because, bless to them, they've had like the best sports decade ever.
Thanks.
Bastards. But they have. And so they're not a great case for this. But even if you're not going to put them in the ilk of Boston, New York, Chicago, okay. But to come here and with Stephen Ross, who's been an owner in an organization here, not a great tenure as an owner as far as results on the field are concerned, to then welcome in Derek Jeter, who's new to town, and he comes from, I guess, one of the prestigious sports towns in America, New York, for him to come in here and just sweep us with the brush of, not a great sports town, Jeets, good luck. It's like, man, oh, really? You're going to do that, Stephen Ross? Because you're the one who came in here with all the weird stuff and tried to wow the Dolphin fans with orange carpet and Jimmy Buffett and Fergie. And all they told you was, hey, you know what we want? We want football. We want tradition. You're the one who bastardized the Dolphins logo and changed it into some weird corporate swimmy dippy looking thing.
No. Guaranteed that when Ross came in here, right, experts who had been studying this community go, oh, Miami is all about the big events and the flash and all this other stuff. So, you know what, let's do this orange carpet, all these things, and that'll get you popular. And in reality, the fans were like, screw that. We really don't want that. That's not really us.
Yeah.
We want the actual sports.
You know what the Dolphin fans want? They want you to solve the quarterback issue that's been here since Marino. They want you to find a coach who's not a bumbling yokel like Joe Philbin. Or when they get something good like Jay Ajayi, they don't want it traded away because of a coach's ego. They don't want things being swept in the headlines like Bullygate. And they don't want, for the love of God, they don't want their coaches doing blow and videotaping it and sending it to strippers. They'd like to not be in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. And then, maybe then, if we could go two straight years without something stupid like that happening, maybe then we could get a fair assessment on what this is as a sports town. All props to Stephen Ross for putting up a beautiful renovation to Hard Rock Stadium to get us a Super Bowl. That's awesome by Stephen Ross.
Do you think if you
But for him to have that same assessment, Beast, God, that bothers me.
Do you think if you asked Mickey Arison if this is a good sports town, he would have the same answer?
Mickey Arison, I think, would. But here's the thing. Mickey Arison is probably not blind to, yeah, you know what? The results have to play. And I don't understand why that's ever been a bad thing. Why is it in sports? Why is it in sports? In a day and age where my entertainment discretion has had more options than ever, I can go to Netflix and it's all there. Boop, 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 boop. I don't have to sit through commercials, anything. You have to entertain me or I ain't sticking around.
Right.
Why is sports any different? Why do I have to sit here and watch the Marlins go through fire sale after fire sale?
We're supposed to have some sort of a blind emotional allegiance to
a
team.
That's rich people telling people who are spending their disposable income on entertainment what to do, and telling them that they're bad or good because they don't want to spend it on crap is terrible. It's terrible, and it's lazy that they have this kind of opinion of South Florida sports fans. So are we in the same class of Boston or Philly or the Chicago Cubs? No, but you're going to do the thing that everybody does to us. Like when the Heat were great and they were saying, that city doesn't deserve that town. Cleveland deserves that town. Even though Cleveland's attendance numbers were in the toilet when they didn't have LeBron James and their ratings were garbage and their valuation went down and nobody went. Even though the Indians are last in attendance, lower than the Marlins, they're the better sports town. They're looked upon as more worthy. And so, in other places, are there more diehard sports fans or do they have a higher lineage? Of course. Genuinely, their sports teams have been around for decades upon decades. They probably have more championships, more heritage to be passed down from generation to generation. I'm a South Florida sports fan since I was 6 years old, and my grandfather took me to a Marlins game. I just had kids to pass on my sports heritage to. And who even knows if that's what they're going to like? Who knows? But like, come on. Like, you're going to come in here, Stephen Ross, and you're going to hit us with, like a flying kick out of nowhere with the same thing that Skip Bayless says on TV or any of those Heat analysts like Bill Simmons said during the Heat era. Oh, it was just wildly disappointing to me, man. That's why, and it's not fake outrage. Like, I genuinely get bothered by that. I hate it when Paul goes on there and says, "Those Miami fans, good to hear from you guys in forever." Yeah, you want to know something, Paul? We got sandbagged by the NCAA with a bogus investigation for years. Then we had a coach with a tie. Sorry if we weren't as positive about Hurricanes football for a few decades.
Meanwhile, Arizona is throwing bags of money everywhere, and Sean Miller's still coaching, and that player's still playing.
Yeah, well, that's how that rolls, baby.
I mean,
and by the way, and North Carolina had widespread academic fraud, but
no one was on a boat though.
But whatevs. But whatevs. There weren't strippers and abortions.
Yeah, there's no boats.
So no escorts. This isn't a story. Get this off my desk. We got your chance to win $1,000 coming up at the top of the hour.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.